Welcome to episode 309 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you that we're awake and we're alive. Thank you for the grace to come and hear your word. We pray, Lord, that may you please cleanse and purify us of every sin. We pray, Lord, that may our hearts be prepared to receive your truth. We pray that may the Holy Spirit, our teacher, come and teach us today and give us the grace to meditate on your word and to do your word. And as we do so, let us be blessed in all we do. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So today, by the grace of God, we should be finishing our series on the church in Thyatira. This is going to be part four, and I believe this is going to be the concluding part. And our anchor scripture so far has been taken from the book of Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. Again, if you've missed the other parts in the series, I will strongly encourage you to go back and listen to it. There have been a lot of very good lessons that the Lord has endowed us with throughout this discussion, right? We've talked about how this church had this concept of continuous improvement. I believe that was what we addressed in the first one we did. And then we talked about claims versus reality, right? Who you claim to be versus who you really are, right? And then we talked about the issues of sexual immorality and idolatry. We talked about how tolerance can breed problems. We talked about what real love is and what it's not, right? We kind of ended up on saying that, hey, tolerance to avoid hurting the feelings of others is not love. So today we're going to pick up from verse 21, actually. We're going to pick up from verse 21, right? So look at what the Lord says here. He says, "And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Therefore, I will cast her into a sick bed." And I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." So let's kind of pause there and discuss something here, right? So the thing is, what is the call that the Lord is giving to this church? What is the Lord? Because yes, that's one good thing about God. He doesn't just highlight your problems, but he gives you a way out. What is he calling this church to do? He's calling them to repentance. He's literally calling them to repentance. He's literally giving them time to repent. He says, "And I gave her time to repent." He's giving them time to repent. In fact, to discuss this point, I'd like to read from the book of Hebrews chapter 3, and I'll read verses 5 to 19. Hebrews 3, verses 5 to 19. Hebrews chapter 3, let me pick that up here real quick. Hebrews 3, verses 15, sorry, verses 15 to 19. Hebrews 3, 15 to 19. He says, For while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Again, the Lord is speaking to you today. Stop shunning the advice of the Lord. Stop shunning the reprimand of the Lord. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, if you will. So, the Bible is wonderful. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, there is a responsibility on your part. It's not today, if you hear his voice. No, it says today, if you will hear his voice. There is a part in the book of Revelation that says, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. Right? I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, you have to open that door. You literally have to, on your own, open that door, right? If you will hear his voice, there's a will on your part, right? So God is giving you a time to repent. He's giving these churches time, right? But don't keep spurning the advice of the Lord, right? If not, judgment will come at some point. Can we look at the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God does not want anyone to perish in their iniquity. He wants you to come to repentance. And what is repentance? Repentance is true change. It's not just saying a prayer of salvation, right? Repentance is not just coming to God and asking for mercy and committing your life to him, but it also includes a life change, a mind change, and a life change. We need to see fruit that your life has changed, right? We literally need to see fruit that your life has changed, right? And if you go to verses 22 and 23, right, of this Revelation chapter 2, we're told, "Indeed, I'll cast her on a sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation," right? Unless they repent. So you got to be careful. Be careful of who you associate with. When people are committing iniquity, do not join them, right? The book of Proverbs chapter 1 really expounds on this. "My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent to it." Literally, don't consent to it. Don't associate with people that are going into sin. Because guess what? You may be a partaker of the judgment that they receive, right? In fact, we're going to look at the book of 2 Corinthians. This is probably one of my favorite portions of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, right? I've quoted this scripture many times on this podcast. It says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." Be separate. God is saying, hey, separate yourself from them. "And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you," and I will receive you, right? So don't associate with these workers of iniquity. Because notice, the Bible says all the people that committed adultery with this prophetess, they're going to be destroyed as well, right? They're going to have great tribulation, right? They're going to have great tribulation. And then if we go to verse 23, it says, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." Right? See, there's something that's very important from this. God said that, hey, I will discipline these people. I will show judgment to these people. And then all the churches will know that he's the one that searches the minds and the hearts. What is something we're learning from this reading? And this is a very important concept you want to get down. Discipline is good. Why is it good? Because it does not just teach you the right thing to do, you that's undergoing the discipline. It also teaches and instills holy fear in other people. It also teaches and instills holy fear in other people. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 5. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You know, for your own time, I will encourage you to read verses 1 to 11. Acts 5 verses 1 to 11. But many of us know that this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, they pretty much lied, right? They lied. So that was sin. That was iniquity. And they were judged. Both of them died in the presence of the Lord. But I want to draw your attention to verse 11, right? So after people saw, wow, this was the consequence. This was the grave consequence of lying to the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, "So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things." Great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things, right? So when people see that evil is not tolerated in a church, when people see the judgment of the Lord, it causes people to alter their behavior. To be honest with you, when you go through certain challenges and trials in your life, when the Lord is disciplining you, you may be very angry with it. But the thing is, that's teaching you a lesson. There are certain things you learn best after consequences have materialized, right? I'm telling you, like, sometimes just seeing the discipline of the Lord may be the exact message that some people need. You may not need to preach any message to them. They just see the discipline of the Lord, and it causes them to change their behavior, right? There is this part of the book of 2 Corinthians. I cannot remember exactly where. I think it's probably 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Right? Apostle Paul says something that's very powerful. In fact, let me try to look for this scripture. It says, I know it says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord." knowing the terror of the Lord. Okay, so Second Corinthians chapter 5 is verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11. I'm going to read from the King James Version. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. See, the God that we serve, and again, this has kind of been a theme that we have discussed a lot in this podcast. The God we serve is a very loving God, but this same God is a consuming fire. It is a very scary thing, as the Bible says, to fall into, I'm paraphrasing, to fall into the hands of the Lord, right? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. As I'm teaching this podcast, I'm trying to persuade you, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing the fire of hell, knowing how terrible hell is as a place, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing therefore the judgment of the Lord, I am persuading you, because I'm telling you this, the God we serve, the Bible says it, I think is the final verse of Hebrews 12 or 13. Our God is a consuming fire, right? Our God is a consuming fire, right? So sometimes that discipline, that terror of the Lord is what is needed for people to learn, That may be the exact message that people need, right? Have you not seen in some of these high schools and whatnot, where they have these scared straight programs where they bring a child that, you know, maybe took drugs, and then because of that, the child has become a vegetable or has like severe neurological impairment. Just to, when people see that, ooh, like this is an example of what can happen if you use drugs. It causes them to change their behavior. That may be the thing that literally changes people's lives, transforms their minds, and makes them take a turn for the better, right? But you see, unfortunately, many churches these days, in the name of keeping numbers or in the name of being socially acceptable. Again, it's all this whole issue of tolerance. That's like the big message of this church. The big falling out of this church was tolerance. Tolerance of evil, right? You see these churches, they tolerate evils worse than even what this church in Thyatira tolerated, right? So please be very, very careful about these things, right? Knowing the terror of the Lord, I am persuading you. The God we serve is a consuming fire. Okay, let's look at verse 24 of Revelation chapter 2. He says, now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Let me read the rest of it. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes, this is a constant theme you see in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, right? Hold fast, overcome, right? He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So what is the Lord saying in this final, I guess, six verses of this reading, right? Be part of the remnant. Be part of the remnant, right? Be part of the remnant. So in this church in Thyatira, there were people that still that did not devolve to this tolerance, that did not devolve to this iniquity. Again, as I said, 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them. Come out from among them, right? Come out from among them, right? And honestly, there is something I want to speak on here that the Lord kind of comments on in verse 24, right? He says, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, right? In fact, I want to read the same thing from the New Living Translation. I think there's something important to get from here. So verse 24, right? It says, but I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira. So that's the remnant, right? Again, the fact that the crowd is doing the wrong thing does not mean you have to join them, right? But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching, right? Deeper truths, as they call them, depths of Satan, actually, right? Deeper truths, right? So the thing is, I want to say something here. You want to be very wary of high sounding nonsense. What do I mean by high sounding nonsense? You see, some people, they claim to have these great spiritual insights, and they're actually just preaching demonic theology. They're actually just preaching things that are not in line with the Word of God. Right? Like, for example, there's a church, and there's like, I think one of the founders of the church, or one of the higher people in the church, they have this book. I think it's known as The Physics of Heaven, or something ridiculous like that, right? So the Physics of Heaven, right? The Physics of Heaven. There is a huge problem with this kind of thing, right? Talking about mysticism in light of the Word of God. Let me tell you this. This is not something you want to learn, right? In fact, this is, I think, one of the examples of the thing the Lord is calling the deeper truths, which are actually just depths of Satan. These people usually sound so authoritative, as if they're really speaking the truth of the Word of God. But no, they're actually leading many people astray, right? A book like the... See, let me tell you this. You don't need this kind of depth of understanding to make heaven, right? And again, these things are very dangerous. They are very destructive, right? They're very destructive, right? Like if you read the Amazon description, it says the authors draw heavily on quantum mysticism, right? All these new age beliefs, all these crazy things, these things are not scriptural. These things are of the devil. Be very, very careful about these things. I don't know if the Lord will give me the opportunity to discuss this in the future. But these new age beliefs, these new age theologies, all these things about all these open up your mind and all these things, let me tell you this, these things are not of God. These things are not in line with scripture. You have to be very careful. And I've noticed this is something that is embraced by many people in these developed countries, right? They're like, oh, they cloak it under wellness, right? They cloak it under wellness. Oh, get your, is it your chakra, right? Or whatever they say, right? Be very careful of these things. These things are of the devil. These things of the devil, you're literally opening up your heart. You're opening up your life to the devil. You're opening up your life to the depths of Satan. You're opening up your life to demons. Be very careful of these things. In fact, I'm going to look at the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible is very complete. The Bible comments on all these things. It says, beware lest, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Be careful. These are people that will call themselves pastors. They'll call themselves apostles. They'll call themselves teachers. And they are teaching demonic things. They are teaching things that are not in line with scripture. They're trying, and they'll try to sound smart, right? They'll try to sound smart, and they're trying to use these smarts to deceive people. For example, there is this Nigerian preacher that said, right, many of you probably know the story of Job, right? This person had the effrontery to say that the reason that Job lost everything at the beginning of the book of Job is because he did not pay his tithe. He did not secure his blessings with his tithe. Where do you find that in the Bible? That's a lie from the pit of hell, right? You see, these people, they try to use smarts to deceive people. They try to sound like, oh, they had some angelic experience, just to give themselves credibility. No, see, let me tell you this. The message of Christ is not complex. The message of Christ is not complex. And you see many of these people, they'll say, oh, this thing I'm about to say is too deep for you. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. In fact, the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 24 says that, see, these things are the depths of Satan. They call these things deeper truths, as if it's like some portion of scripture that, ooh, the ordinary man, the members of the congregation cannot tap into. No, no. No, no. In fact, you'll see, they'll say, oh, that this angel came into their rooms and revealed XYZ to them. Be very careful of these people. Be careful of these people that seem to have this great spiritual insight. They take the word of God out of context. In fact, Apostle Paul says that if anybody preaches anything that is pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, that is outside of scripture, let him be accursed. He said it twice, that, hey, let this person be cursed. Let this person literally be cursed. Right? Be careful of these people, because they lead people, they lead others astray. They destroy the destinies of people. They invite demons into the lives of people. Right? See, let me tell you this. What do you need to understand about scripture? All you need to understand is Christ and Him crucified. Literally, Christ and Him crucified. That is the primary message of the Bible. That's the message you need to know. See, the message of Christ is not complex. Anybody that is trying to make it complex, trying to make it seem like something unattainable, that is the person you should run away from. Right? That is a person you should run away from. This is something that is very, very important that you need to accept in your heart. Right? And again, verses 25 to 29 of Revelation chapter 2. Again, God is encouraging these people. Hold on. Don't turn aside. Right? There's this narrow road that leads to life. Just hold on. Don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Hold on. Hold fast. Don't let anybody take your crown. Right? There is a reward in the end. And again, as the Bible says, as you've seen, at the end of every letter to all these churches, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. The Lord has spoken to you today. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Remembering the terror of the Lord. Remembering the terror of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think verse 11. Remembering the terror of the Lord. Remembering the terror of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord. I am trying to persuade you today. And it's not just me trying to persuade you. The Lord is trying to persuade you. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word we have heard this morning. Give us the grace, Lord, to respond in repentance. Give us the grace to respond in repentance. Give us the grace to not associate with people that are working in iniquity. Your word says, come out from among them and be separate. Your word says that evil company corrupts good manners. Help us to stay away, Lord. And give us the grace to be receptive to and to learn from spiritual discipline. And when we see other people being disciplined, give us the grace to learn from the experiences. Give us the grace to be part of the remnant. Those people, like those 7,000 people in the land of Israel that had not bowed down to Baal or kissed him. They had not done any of those things. They were in the remnants. They were in the minority. But they stuck to their guns in holiness. Give us the grace to be part of the remnant. Give us the grace, Lord, to hold on to the truth. To not turn aside from the truth. Give us the grace to not lose our crown. And Father, I pray that may you begin to root out and may you begin to expose all these people that are deceiving others with high-sounding nonsense to the glory, honor, and praise of your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, I just want to say something here. Again, I will encourage you, if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord, to surrender your life to the Lord. But it's not a decision that I'm going to force on you. No, it's a decision that comes with a cost. There's grace. The Lord will help you. But it's a decision you have to make, as I've discussed already. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord, I will encourage you to listen to episodes 254 and episode 287 on the website. 254 and 287. I explain what salvation involves, what a life of Christ looks like. And then if you do decide for Jesus, at the end of episode 254, there's an opportunity for you to say a prayer and commit your life to the Lord. If you do make that decision, which again, I promise you will be the best decision you will ever take in your life, then listen to episodes 96 to 101. 96 to 101. It's titled, The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so that you can grow in your walk with the Lord. So thank you for listening to me today. I will see you, God willing, in the next episode. I believe that's going to be episode 310. So God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful day. Shalom.